Obama, Messiah. He was born without birth certificate and he walks on water. And you can't insult him or make fun of him because he's black. Messiah. I hadn't done that in the last couple of episodes. And I'm trying to gear up because honestly, my energy levels are low right now. But this episode of Stating the Obvious is going to be a digression from the normal. And so what the hell, I'm going to try it. I'm going to see what happens. Because sometimes I start these off and my energy level kind of sucks. And by kind of sucks, I mean it fucking sucks. And then I'll get fired up. And things take over and it gets better. So I don't know. We're going to try this out. We're going to see what happens. I am the Great One himself. This is the Stating the Obvious podcast. It's the flagship podcast of the Cynical Libertarian Society. And of course, I have the other podcast, Cult of Personality, which I have not done in a long time, but I need to do one soon because I got some stuff for that. And of course, the Anarchy Moments, which here, there, they're out there. But this is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect. It homes in on and destroys dumbass motherfuckers. And there are so, oh, there's so many dumbass motherfuckers out there. I'm just fucking surrounded by stupid-ass fucking statist dumbass motherfuckers. So here we go. Today is December the 6th, 2013, here in Fort Collins, Colorado, the People's Republic of. It's been cold as fuck, thanks to global warming, because we know that the Earth is getting warmer, thanks to evil Republicans. And the global warming is kicking in. It's been in the fucking negatives every night. It's been in the negatives every morning. It's been in the negatives every evening. It's getting up around 10 degrees every now and then. That reminds me, I need to fucking write something down. Hang on a second. I'm feeling pretty relaxed. I'm feeling pretty chilled out. Yep, thank you. To dryer and snow. Yes, that was me muttering to myself. You don't give a shit. I don't blame you. You shouldn't give a shit. What you should do, however, is stop voting for politicians that kill other people, because that makes you a really bad, immoral person, and you're kind of a fucking jackass. All right. Let's talk about this, because here's what I'm going to do for a couple of editions of Stating the Obvious. At least I'm going to try this out. I'm going to see how it works. I have on the floor here, because in the recording studios of the Cynical Libertarian Society, I utilize the floor as a filing cabinet and organizational system. See, normal people use the floor for something that you walk on, but I'm not really normal. I have to fucking do everything the hard way. So I have this giant pile of fuck knows what. There's newspapers in there. There's magazines in there. There's sheets of paper. There's things I've tore out of magazines. There's pieces of scratch paper with notes written on them. There's no fucking telling what all is in there. I am going to go through that pile. And I do this all the time. This is not new. I had these piles, and usually the way this works is I create this pile of material that I want to talk about on the show. And I start piling it up, and it gets bigger and bigger, and I tell myself that one day I'm going to get around to doing it. And it gets a little bit bigger, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go through that really soon, and we're going to do Stating the Obvious. And by the way, yeah, I know I'm still supposed to be finishing up the series about the Collegian that I started a couple of episodes ago. I have not forgotten that. I got to do this. Then I got something else I'm working on. Then we're going to come back to that. I know, it's really fucking annoying. Welcome to my world. This is how I fucking function. But it's coming, trust me. This is not going to get pushed aside, I promise you. because I know those of you listening to the show for a long time, you're probably thinking about all the things I've said I'm going to do an episode about, which I never fucking get around to. Winter is here. It's winter. It's fucking 0 degrees outside. I don't like going outside in the winter. So in the winter, my productivity on things like this goes up. You know, those of you who have been here for a while, you've heard this. In the summer, I hate doing podcasting because I would rather be outside on my bicycle in the sunshine and the fresh air and enjoying the beautifulness of, God, my freaking pop filter is filthy. It's disgusting. Enjoying the beautifulness of Colorado and up in the foothills, doing some trail running, doing some mountain biking, breathing in the fresh air, getting the sunshine. You know, that's what I want to be doing with my life. So I don't do a lot of podcasting in the summer, typically. Winter's coming. It's going to be cold as shit. I'm really fucking busy until about December the 20th. After that, I'm going to have some time off. I'm going to try to slam through. But I wanted to get a couple. So anyway, there's this giant. So normally, see how I love how I fucking digress. All right. Normally, I pile the shit up in the piles, and I'm going to get to it one day, and I don't get to it. And finally, I look at the pile in pure disgust, and I pick the whole fucking thing up, and I throw it in the trash can. Because if I start going through the pile, it's like, oh, I can't throw this out. I've got to talk about this. And it's right. It's like cleaning out that closet or cleaning out your garage, right? You're like, oh, there's all this shit in there. I'm going to throw this away. And then you start going through the garage, and you're like, oh, shit, we can't throw this away. We got to keep this. And then you find, it's like, I got to keep this. One day, you know, and then you find like that carburetor from a 57 Chevy, and you're like, man, I can't throw this carburetor away. One day, somebody might be looking for a carburetor from a 57 Chevy, and I'll have one. So I got to keep this. And you go through, and you end up, you only threw away like two fucking things, and you still got 74 boxes of stuff that's just pure shit in your garage. Right, you know how this works. We know how this works, especially as men, because this is how we fucking operate. I used to have boxes of spare electronics gear. It just killed me, but I finally threw this shit away. Because, no, I really have to keep this giant box of Transformers. Not Transformers, the robots. Robots in disguise. No, Transformers, like electrical Transformers. I had a box full of electrical fucking Transformers. Oh, couldn't throw those away. Carried those around for fucking years and years and years. Finally tossed them. So anyhow, that's how this normally works. What I'm going to try this time is actually going to the pile and talking about some of the shit, scrapping most of it, but talking about some shit that's important. We're going to see how this works. Now, this brings me to a logistical aspect of how the podcast is going to work in these particular episodes. See, normally when Randy and I, and Randy's not here today, normally, when she's not going to be here for these, I don't think. She's not here for this one. She might be here for later ones. Normally, when we... By the way, I am the Great One himself, and this is Stating the Obvious from the Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the internet. You can send me email, and if you're a hot chick, you can send me naked pictures. God, dog spelled backwards, at CYNLIBSOC.com. Speaking of naked pictures... Not that I'm digressing from the topic. God forbid that I fucking digress from the topic on this show. Tinder. All right, so we talked about Snapchat and we talked about Friction. So then I discovered Tinder, which taps into your Facebook profile and finds, you know, chicks or guys for you. So I've been scoping out Tinder. It's hilarious. So girls, females, ladies, women, chicks, whatever the fuck you want to call yourself, whatever I want to call you, actually, it doesn't matter what you want. That is the ugliest. You guys, fuck, okay, here, number one, duck lips. Duck lips are not fucking attractive. Oh my God. All right, so Marissa is fucking ugly and she's making duck lips. All right, here's another thing. When there's multiple people in your pictures, I don't know which one is you. Here's something I've noticed with things like OkCupid, which I have an OkCupid account. I go on there. I've actually met some cool people from, excuse me, I've met some cool people on Cupid. I've met a couple of people that I was friends with for a while. I mean, eventually they went kind of insane, but that's what happens. That was me pausing to take a drink of water, by the way. But here's something I've noticed about interacting with girls online, like dating sites, things just like this, like Tinder, whatever. When there's multiple girls in the first photo you see, I guarantee the chick who is actually the person behind the profile is the ugliest one in the group. And this always holds true. I mean, this has always held true. You're on OkCupid and you see some chick's profile, and her profile picture has three girls in it. Pick the ugliest one in the group and then look at her other pictures. I guarantee you that she's the ugliest one in there. Ugly chicks always throw in photos of themselves with attractive chicks in order to try to get guys to look at their fucking photos. That's my theory about what's going on. But we'll talk about that more later. Because that's not what I'm supposed to be talking about, because, you know, I always stay on topic when I do this show. All right. These episodes, where I'm going through this giant pile of shit that's in the middle of the floor, are going to be different because I am going to be pausing the microphone as I'm sorting through the giant pile of shit. Normally, I don't do this. You know, normally I record this, we go straight through, unless there's some kind of major crisis, or like there's a couple of episodes ago where I had a major brain cramp and I had Randy stop the recording and I pulled my head on my ass and got back on track. But normally, I just go through, start to finish, and I do this for two reasons. First of all, I hate editing. I fucking hate doing audio editing. It's a pain in the ass. Second of all, I think it's important to have and to cultivate, that's a new word, to cultivate communication skills, real-time communication skills. Something I hate with a passion is the YouTube videos where the people, you know, you can tell that they filmed it, then they go through and they cut it out, and it's just this constant talking all the way through, and all the pauses are removed, and you can tell it's just been heavily edited. And well, I mean, okay, this can be entertaining sometimes, depending on the context. But real people don't talk like that. And so as I'm going through life, as I encounter other people and I'm having real life discussions where there is no editing, I believe, and I say I, but this applies to everyone, this applies to you too, I think it's important for us as people to be able to clearly articulate ourselves face to face with other people in real time, to be able to follow a train of thought, because you can tell I'm real good at staying on my fucking train of thought, you know, and go from one place to another in a logical way. It's basically, it's communication skills. It's being able to organize your thoughts on the fly, to present your thoughts, and to communicate effectively and coherently. And so the big reason why I do this show all the way through is because it challenges me to have to do that. Sometimes I come in with notes, sometimes I come in with no notes whatsoever, but I've never had any kind of a script. I may read things that other people have written and then respond to them, but I never have a script for this show. Sometimes I have notes, sometimes I have an outline, and sometimes I'm just, it's like this. I mean, right, I got nothing. I know that I was going to talk about this topic, and then I know that I'm going to go into this pile over here. There's no fucking notes here. So I think it's important to be able to articulate yourself real time. And it's important to be able to speak without saying all the fucking time, because I am so fucking sick of people who say And you know what I really fucking hate? and I see this on the Facebook a lot, is people who actually write like it's a fucking word. People, is something you say when you're too fucking stupid to know how to talk. Okay? You sound like a fucking idiot when you're saying I don't know, cause my communication skills are really good, you know? No, motherfucker, I don't know. That's why you're fucking telling me. Stop saying like, stop saying you know, stop saying is not a fucking word. And when you write in a sentence, all you're doing is announcing to me that you're a fucking idiot. Of course, I frequently say, you know, and I usually try to catch myself. But these are bad habits. If you join Toastmasters, it'll help you get over that stuff. Way back, was it when I first started this podcast? Could be. It could be, actually. I think I might have been in Toastmasters already when I started doing this podcast. Because I used to plug Toastmasters quite a bit and talk about how this is part of my Toastmasters challenge. Because in Toastmasters, one of the things they do is table topics, where you go up to the front of the room and you get a topic. And it's so you walk up there and go, okay, here's your topic. Talk about how seeing a cloudless sky makes you feel. I mean, whatever. It can fucking be anything. The point is, you don't know what it is until you go up there and you get your table topic. And then it's just like, bang, you have to start talking about that intelligently and coherently it's been so long I forgot the time limit. I think it's 30 to 60 seconds is what you're supposed to speak on it for. It can vary. Different clubs can have different rules. But the point is, it pushes you to be able to, bam, have something come right at you, and then to respond to it and speak about it coherently. It's a great way to build your conversational skills. And so that's why I do this show all the way through. And I know there are times doing this show when I sound like an idiot. I know that. It's because sometimes my conversation skills fail me in the moment. But knowing that everything that gets recorded is going out there helps to motivate me to push myself to pull my head out of my ass and communicate well. That's the other thing about doing this, is so often after I've done a show, I come back afterwards and go, ah, fuck, I should have said this. Oh, damn, I wish I'd have thought about that. You know, that's why I do so many fucking follow-up shows, because I'll do a podcast and then my brain just keeps racing and I keep thinking of things I should have said. But of course, you know, again, in real life, you don't have those fucking do-overs, and that's why I do it this way. Which is to exercise my brain in the process of thinking in the moment. So for these, we are going to, and using so at the beginning of a sentence like that is also a filler word and is not very good speaking skills. And you'll notice how I caught myself. That's a great thing about Toastmasters, is that when you do say things like or so or like or you know, you'll become aware of it and you catch yourself. It's like, I catch myself doing all of those things easily 9 times out of 10. Whereas the average person, and by average I mean average, that's why you're called average, people, because you're just average. The average person just plows on through and never realizes that they can't fucking communicate. And by the way, fucking is not a filler word. I'm utilizing fucking. You'll notice, for any children in the audience, I use the word fucking and fuck and motherfucker in complete sentences, okay? So I don't want to hear any shit. Okay. So I'm going to be pausing the microphone as I go through the pile when I find interesting stuff. I'm going to open it back up. I'm going to talk about it. Then we're going to pause it and go along. And that's how these are going to go. Did you really care? Probably not, but it's okay. I thought it was important to talk about communication skills. I think a lot of things. I think sometimes. Fucking sue me. And just so you know, you're competing against a Beavis and Butthead DVD that I could be watching. And also, I didn't finish talking about Tinder. So I talked about how the ugliest chick in the group pictures is always the one with the profile. Okay, no duck lips, right? Leave out the duck lips. No blurry photos, okay? Girls, pictures of you with guns, that's hot. That automatically adds like 1.5. So, like, if you're just a 5, but there's a picture of you in there shooting a rifle, that bumps you up to a 6.5 easily. And, I'm not really sure what to make about this, because I'm not into this weird shit. I got this person wanting to fucking webcam sex with me. I'm just like, okay, yeah, that's awesome. I'm not a virgin. Thanks for asking. I wonder about that. Like, okay, so was that really a chick? Because, like, you can be a guy and go online and pretend to be a girl, but if you're going to do webcam sex, then wouldn't it be obvious that you're a guy, not a girl? Is there, like, a filter for that? Or, like, so, I mean, I don't know. I've never fucking webcammed in my life, and I'm not even talking about sex webcamming. I'm talking about fucking webcamming, period. For a business meeting, for what the fuck ever. You know, everybody else, what do you call that? See, I just said, and I caught myself. That's what Toastmasters will do for you. What do you call that shit? Microsoft bought it. My brain hurts. See, and this is why we do filler sounds, filler words like and stuff like that. Because when we're speaking, people don't like silence. Like, as a speaker, if you're speaking and you have silence in your speech, like I just did there, people are so afraid that somebody else is going to start talking and cut them off. So in order to keep the noise coming from their mouth, when they can't think of anything to say, they'll throw in like that, instead of just saying when they can't think of anything to say. They won't just fucking pause. They have to fill the pause with noise. That's where the bad habit comes from. What the? Skype! That's what it is. Skype. Like, I've never fucking Skyped. I've never Google hanged out, whatever the fuck. I'm sure that's going to somehow turn into a verb at some point, because fucking fuckers at Google turn everything into a verb, and not to mention turn everything into a way for the government to spy on you. But anyhow, so yeah, that was chicks, that was Tinder. Okay, fine, don't do duck lips. Yeah, all right, let me start going through the pile here. Let's see. Yes, we're 23 minutes into the podcast, haven't got to the actual reason for doing the podcast yet. Everything is fucking normal with the world, because this is how we roll. A shout out for those of you, I got my notes here about dealing with other people's opinions. This is just a shout out. I know a lot of you are always offended when somebody else has opinions that are different than yours. All you need to understand is that you're a fucking idiot. But the only other thing you need to understand is that dealing with other people's opinions, it's just part of growing up. And you need to fucking grow up. I've said this 1,000 times before. I go through my life every single day surrounded by people whose opinions are completely different than mine, surrounded by people who want to murder other humans for their own personal pleasure. And I fucking deal with it, okay? You need to fucking deal with it. Speaking of dealing with things, I've been watching all of the James Bond movies. That has nothing to do with dealing with things, but I thought it would be a great segue. So, you see, and if you just make shit up like that, another great thing about speaking, and another reason I do the podcast as opposed to writing, because when I started stating the obvious, God, look how quickly I go off topic. When I started stating the obvious, it was written. You can go back and read those. They're still on the website. I should go back and look at those sometimes. I went back. Here, I'm changing topics again. God damn it, I'm good. I went back for the 9-year anniversary of stating the obvious. and I listened to the first episode of Stating the Obvious I ever recorded. It was really interesting to hear myself talking about stuff. That was back when John Kerry was running for president, and he said that when he was elected president, quadriplegics like Christopher Reeve, who was stumping for John Kerry, would get up out of their wheelchairs and walk. I had forgotten all about that. It's just fucking hilarious. Again, you people believe your politicians are gods. You know, you believe that Obama is going to create jobs. How the fuck is he going to create jobs? He's going to fix the economy. You know, that John Kerry was going to get elected president and cause people in wheelchairs to get up out of the wheelchairs and walk. I mean, what in the fuck is wrong with you people? Anyway, I was listening to that, and I was talking in there about how the war in Afghanistan had ended, and I was remarking that it didn't take anywhere near as long as I thought it would. And looking back on that, I'm like, where in the fuck's name did I get the idea that the war in Afghanistan had ended? I mean, obviously I got it from mainstream media propaganda, because I wouldn't have just made that shit up. I had to have read it somewhere. But it's just hilarious to go back and listen to me when I was a right-wing minarchist, as opposed to a anarcho-capitalist like I am now. Okay, which brings us back to, I started off writing Stating the Obvious instead of podcasting it. I moved to podcasting because, again, I think that digressions like this and side stories and sarcasm and having fun and all of these other things work a hell of a lot better in speaking than they do in writing, because things like sarcasm, it's really hard to pull off sarcasm in writing. At least it is for me. I know there are some people really good at it. I'm not. So doing things via the spoken voice where I can utilize the tone of my voice and all of the other speaking skills that I have, such as they are, it's a lot easier, I believe, to accurately communicate what I'm saying by speaking as opposed to writing. And again, it exercises the brain, I don't want to say more, but it exercises the brain differently in the fact that, especially without notes, I have to keep track of where I'm going. For example, I know now that I have to close that set of parentheses that I was in right there. That's the second set of parentheses. I had parentheses inside parentheses, and now go back to the original topic of James Bond. I've been watching the James Bond movies, and most of the Bond girls were not that hot, except for Jane Seymour in Live and Let Die. Dude, I'm not normally a Jane Seymour fan, but man, in this movie, she was looking gorgeous, and her tits were just fucking amazing. Oh my god. Anyway, Live and Let Die, if nothing else, watch it just to see Jane Seymour. God, she was just fucking gorgeous in that movie. And dealing with other people's opinions is part of growing up, so just grow the fuck up and stop whining about everybody else's opinions. Yes, I was reading an article about a fire department, and the line was in there where some fucking idiot said, quote, "I think the fire department should reflect the diversity of the community," unquote. This fucking enlightened diversity shit, you people need to fucking die. Okay, no, the people in the fire department should not represent the diversity of the community. The people in the fire department should represent 20 and 30 year old men who are in excellent physical condition, so that when they have to go into a burning building and carry somebody out, they can do it and save that person's life, plus not die. Okay, the idea that we should have fucking 92 pound women in the fire department in the name of political correctness, it's just fucking sick, and it's pathetic, and it's how people get killed. It's the beautiful example of affirmative action. It's like, we're going to give these jobs to people Not people who are capable of doing the job, but we're going to give the job to somebody because she's got a fucking vagina. Are we going to give the job to somebody because they're black? Are we going to give it to them because they're Puerto Rican? Are we going to give it to them because they're transsexual? Or what the fuck ever? How about if fire departments are composed of people who can actually meet the fucking requirements? And hey, you know, if you're a woman and you got the big muscles and you're 150 pounds and you can fucking carry a 250 pound man down the ladder out of a burning building, then I am totally fine with you being in the fire department. I'm not saying women shouldn't be there. I'm saying they should only be there if they can perform to the exact same physical standards as the men. And we all know they can't. So shut the fuck up. I found this article in here. This was a brilliant and interesting article. It's called Up in Smoke, and I think, because I just tore it out of the magazine, yes it did, it came out of Discover Magazine, of all things, which is, Discover Magazine, in my opinion, is 9 times out of 10, the stuff in there is like science for stupid people. But this piece was really great. It's about fires and the science of fires, how they burn, and arson investigations. It's fairly long, and it examined the way incorrect knowledge about the way fire behaves has resulted in fires that were not arsons being classified as arsons, fires that were arsons being not classified as arsons, you know, people going to jail for arson, and sometimes for murder along with the arson when they shouldn't have, and all this other stuff. And this is really good. It's not good these people went to jail when they shouldn't. This is good because it illustrates a point that I talk about a lot, especially with shit like global warming, which is people are fucking stupid. I talk about that a lot. People think that somehow or another, the scientific knowledge we have today, right now, it must be right. And everything before, you know, it's like, well, people used to think the earth was flat, but now we know the earth is round, and obviously everything we know is right. And this is the global warming thing. It's like, well, we know the earth is getting warmer and it's caused by Republicans and they're burning fossil fuels and all this other stuff, and of course the fossil fuels burned by liberal Democrats, those don't actually contribute to global warming. It's only the Republican fossil fuels, or the fossil fuels burned by people like myself who are heterosexual white men who work for a living. But if you're a fucking dope-smoking, Prius-driving piece of shit hippie, of course your fossil fuel burnings don't actually contribute to global warming because they're like unicorn farts. Anyway, it's just like global warming. Everybody thinks, oh, global warming, there's a consensus, it's settled, we know everything about it. And as I've said before, 100 years from now, people are going to look back at the shit that we believe today, like global warming and like the earth is going to run out of oil and all this other shit, and they're going to laugh their fucking asses off, all right? And this is an excellent example. I'm going to read this part of the article. In reality, I'd love to not hit the microphone like that. In reality, I'd love to read this entire article and talk about it in depth, but I'm not going to do that. Though I might do it in the future. See, it's those things. It's like, this is like that 57 carburetor. 57 Chevy carburetor in the garage. I want to throw this out, but it's like, God damn it, I might need this one day. I'm such a fucking boy. All right. I want to read these 7 myths about arson. And the point of this will contrast you know, with... It's a look at what used to be accepted as the scientific facts. And everybody would go around and say, no, these are... And my uncle was a member of a volunteer fire department. He's a fire marshal. So I'm not saying I'm some kind of fucking fire expert. Not by any stretch of the imagination. But I know a little bit, just a little bit about this kind of stuff. You know, this is the shit. These myths, these are the things people used to run around and say, why, yes, these are scientific facts. And now the research done by the people talked about in this article, because there's a group of scientists who are talked about in this article that have done just really, really extensive and rigorous testing on this stuff in order to reach much better scientifically based, empirically based, objective information based conclusions about how fire works, the science of fire, what the effects are, all this other stuff. You'll see what I mean when I read to you these myths versus the reality, which we now know to be true. And the same thing, as I said, this is what's going to happen with global warming and all this other shit in 100 years. The reality is going to come out, and people are going to look back and fucking laugh their asses off at you for believing this shit. But it's okay. You're stupid. We understand. All right, here we go. Seven myths about arson. Fire investigators have long used certain rules of thumb to identify arson. Many have been proven incorrect. Number one, crazing of windows, in which hundreds of cracks appear in the glass, indicates rapid heating and means an accelerant was used to start the fire. The reality is that crazing is caused by the rapid cooling of window glass, as when water from a fire hose strikes a hot window. Number two, the myth. Burn marks on the floor indicate that a fire was purposely set because heat rises and fire only burns upward. It must have been set by pouring a liquid on the ground and igniting it. Reality. When a fire reaches flashover, the point at which an entire room ignites, extreme radiant heat will produce burn marks or even burn holes in the floor. Randy's not here, so I have to check the time on the podcast myself. I don't have anybody holding my hand and wiping my ass for me. It's not often she lets me fly solo because I'm not really house trained yet. Myth number three. Melted metals, such as doorway thresholds, indicate that a liquid fire starter must have been used in order to reach the temperature that exceeded their melting points. Reality, wood fires, especially those that reach flashover, frequently exceed the melting point of metals. Myth number four. Burn marks under doorway thresholds or under furniture indicate that a liquid accelerant must have been used to start the fire, since the liquid must have been poured and then seeped. Reality, post-flashover fires commonly cause burning under thresholds and furniture. Number five, spalling or surface chipping of concrete indicates that a liquid accelerant must have been poured on the concrete surface and lit. The reality, many factors can cause this effect, including differential expansion between the heated surface and the interior. Accelerant poured on the concrete actually protects it by providing a cool evaporative surface. Wow, isn't it amazing how actual research and empirical data can contradict things that people would normally find hard to believe, right? It's kind of like the whole thing how hot water freezes faster than cold water. Well, no one would believe that, but I don't know, maybe you could do some fucking research. All right, alligatoring, the appearance of... I'm not going to argue with the chiming. This is a good chance for me to get a drink. Alligatoring. The appearance of blisters on the surface of burned wood. He said wood. This is why I shouldn't be left on my own. Alligatoring, the appearance of blisters on the surface of burned wood, points to a fire's origin. Small, flat blisters result from slow burns. Large, shiny blisters indicate rapid heating and hence the use of an accelerant. That's the myth. Reality. There is no scientific evidence for any such correlation. Both types of blisters can appear on the same burned wall. Myth number seven. Sharply angled V-pattern burn marks on a wall denote a fast-burning fire that must have been started with a liquid accelerant. Reality, Patterns can result from a number of factors, including ventilation, air currents, location of fuel, and the materials burning objects are made of. So there you go. I've also, as going through the pile, found two old issues of the Collegian that have to go into the Collegian pile because there's some brilliant shit in there. And by brilliant, I mean one of them is really good. There's this one girl who wrote some columns for the Collegian who is actually not fucking stupid. I know a couple of hers in the past. And God, I'll fucking get in trouble for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Not only is she a girl, but she's a black girl. And for somebody who has black skin and female genitalia and is going through college to be as smart as she is, and I know many of you think I'm insulting her. I'm not. I mean this in all honesty. For her to be a woman and black and going to college and be as smart as she is, she must have to fight off a lot of indoctrination, because I've been to CSU. I've worked there for 8 years. I took classes there. Most of the girls there are stupider than shit, and they're feminist. And anyway, yeah, it's just, this girl must be pretty smart. That's all I'm going to say. Well, that's all I'm going to say for now. I mean, you know I'm not going to shut up. I'll be back in a minute. And then there's the other side of science. The part of science where morons spend money to figure out things that non-stupid people could figure out on their own. For example, many years ago when I read about how the government of the United States funded scientific research to determine that a particular species of duck, the male duck of that species would rather have sex with a female duck of its own species than with a male duck of its own species or a female duck of a different species. Our tax money, well, you know, those of us who actually pay taxes and aren't welfare recipients, our tax money paid for that shit. Here's another one. Study reveals southern diet could link to high stroke risk. Wait, you mean eating shit tons of fried food, which has a high component of wheat and other, like, seriously, here, fried chicken and hush puppies. Okay, hush puppies are just wheat and grain, which has no nutritional value and is completely useless, and it's fried. Then you have fried chicken. I mean, chicken is healthy if it's not from a fucking chicken farm where they pump them full of fucking who knows what kind of chemicals. And then you put wheat, corn-based shit around the chicken, and you fry it. I mean, really? You had to do a scientific study to figure out that a diet of fucking fried food, like, as it says here, quote-unquote, we're talking about fried foods, French fries, okay, French fries, fried potatoes. Potatoes have pretty much no nutritional value. You fry them. Hamburgers, the meat in the hamburger, I've said this before, the part of the hamburger, just like McDonald's, you go to McDonald's, you get your fucking French fries, which are fried potatoes, no nutritional value, you get your giant fucking thing of carbonated sugar water, except it's not even sugar water, it's high fructose corn syrup water, so there's nothing in there nutritious. Then you get this hamburger, which is two giant pieces of fucking wheat, which are nasty and disgusting, have no nutritional value. You got some iceberg lettuce on there, which has no nutritional value. You got some mayonnaise on there, which is some kind of fucking chemical sludge, as far as I can tell, and has no nutritional value. The only part of the hamburger that has nutritional value is the meat and the tomato and the onions. And then, of course, all the fucking vegans and the fucking wackos go, ew, look, see, meat gives people heart attacks. No, you stupid fucking vegan head up your ass fucking cunt. Shut the fuck up. It's not the little tiny piece of meat that's killing people. It's the fucking fried potatoes. It's the carbonated goddamn sugar water, which is high fructose corn syrup water. And it's the fucking wheat. And it's the chemical fucking sludge that is mayonnaise. I do not know what the fuck mayonnaise is, but it's fucking disgusting. Dude, mayonnaise. How can you people eat mayonnaise? That shit, it's like fucking bird diarrhea or something. Mayonnaise is disgusting. I don't even want to know what the fuck is in it. All right. So anyhow, this is the quote from the thingy. That was me getting distracted. We're talking about fried foods, French fries, hamburgers. Like I said, the meat is the healthy part. Processed meats. Yes, processed meats like pepperoni. Disgusting. Stay the fuck away from processed meats. Hot dogs. Hot dogs. Hot dogs. Hot dogs. Do you know how long it's been since I've eaten a legitimate hot dog? Like a hot dog like what normal people... I don't want to know what's in those fucking things. Oh, God damn it. Fucking disgusting. All right? And sugary drinks. I mean, you had to do a... What is this? People who ate about 6 meals a week of these sorts of foods had a 41% higher risk of stroke than those who ate that way about once a month. So you're saying that people who eat shitty food, like all of this, 6 meals a week are more likely to have a stroke than people who only eat this kind of shitty food once a week. Really? No shit. You had to fucking spend time and money doing quote-unquote science to fucking figure that out. How fucking stupid can you people be? I just found a big fat article on global warming. Oh, I mean climate change. I may have to do that one. It's so pathetic. I'm just glancing at it. There's this quote where this global warming wacko says, "You can't make a thermometer tell you it's hotter than it really is." Of course you can. The thermometer is some fucking mercury, and you paint the little numbers on it. You can paint the little numbers on there any way you want. Data can be fucking falsified. You know, this is what I love about you. Oh, you can't fall. The thermometer says it's hotter than ever. It must be true. Oh, my God. I know somebody who does global warming wackoism research. They don't just write down the temperatures. They spend hours and hours and hours finessing the data, otherwise known as falsifying it. I mean, that's what he does for a living. He takes climate data and he falsifies it. I know this is hard for you to believe. Again, I worked in a scientific research field for 8 years. I've seen data falsification. It happens all the fucking time. This person who does global warming research has outright said he falsifies the data. He didn't call it falsifying. He calls it... What the fuck is the word he used? He said manipulating or something like that, but it's the same difference. Because I've worked in science. I know how this shit works. Speaking of environmentalism and the medicated generation, medicated fish, a common anti-anxiety medication now found in rivers and ponds downstream of sewage treatment plants, can alter the behavior of wild fish, a new study has shown. But are we going to stop medicating ourselves? It's just like with birth control pills and all the estrogen going into the environment. Why is it that you fucking environmentalist fucking wacko tree-hugging global warming cock-sucking pieces of shit who, if you fucking believed all this stuff you're saying, why don't you fucking kill yourselves in order to save the earth? If you believe the earth is fucking overpopulated, would you please fucking kill yourself and save the fucking earth? Okay, you want to stop people from driving because of fossil fuels and you want to do all this other shit, but all of this fucking medication, the estrogen from birth control pills, the anti-anxiety medication they're talking about here right now, all of this shit is getting into the water supply and going downstream. And this isn't fucking made up fudged data, okay? This is shit that has been seen affecting the behavior of fish. Estrogen has been seen affecting the behavior. We can trace it back. Not me personally, but people. Swedish research, Alma Mater University, showed when wild is exposed to concentrations of the drug, they become more active, less social, and more frantic. I think that's what he says. I don't know what that word is. F-R-E-N-E-T-I-C. In their feeding patterns, they're also more likely to swim alone in dangerous open water. So, I mean, the chemicals, the estrogen, these anti-anxiety medicines, they're fucking up the environment. They're fucking up the animals in the environment. And yet you stupid fucking people continue to shove all of this medication down your throats because you're being sold it by the pharmaceutical corporations, and you're fucking pissing it out into the goddamn water, and you're polluting the environment. Where are the fucking global warming wackos about this? Oh, that's right. They're running around chanting about fucking how we're all going to overheat and die. Well, I'm standing here and it's fucking -5 degrees outside. Fuck you, you goddamn tree-hugging, global warming-whacking motherfuckers. Here's another example of stupid scientist. Clouds are alive. Bacteria and other tiny life forms are thriving high in the Earth's atmosphere as they are carried around the world by prevailing winds, according to new research. Quote, we did not expect to find so many microorganisms in the troposphere, which is considered a difficult environment for life, unquote, said microbiologist Kostas Kost, I can't fucking pronounce his name, of the Georgia Institute of Technology. Do you people not realize that at the bottom of the ocean, in complete darkness, under shit tons of water, under high pressure, there are these vents where hot water is coming out of the earth, and they are surrounded by life forms. Life is more powerful than you think. Life can fucking live almost anywhere. We didn't think there'd be that many living organisms up in the sky. We thought the troposphere was a difficult place for things to live in, because I got my diploma at the Cracker Jack University. Maybe they went to CSU. Maybe they were busy learning about tolerance and diversity, and how all women are raped every time they have sex, and how white men who are heterosexual and work for a living are the cause of all evil. Maybe they were so busy learning about global warming and how it's the hottest year ever and we're all gonna die. Maybe they didn't have time to learn that fucking life can exist virtually fucking any place. When they find life out in deep space in the fucking cold vacuum, they're gonna go, well, we didn't know life could live out here. We thought this environment was too harsh, cause I got a degree in ethnic studies with a minor in puppetry, and I just call myself a scientist cause I believe in global warming. Fuck. Are you people this yes, you are this fucking stupid. I don't need to ask the question. You people call yourselves scientists, and you are this fucking stupid. Fuck you. Alright. You know how far I got through the pile? Like half of a centimeter. God, there's still a shit ton down there. I'll be back.